Guys, death is everywhere right now. There's so much murder to mourn this week. On a subway, at a public talk in Utah, in front of a huge population of people, and then online, everyone's looking at and being traumatized by this death. Death at a school mass that we're still mourning, where children were targeted. And all this while remembering what happened in 9/11. I think it's providential timing that one death stands above all the other deaths this week. Earlier this week, I recorded a reflection for this Sunday, the day that we celebrate the most recognized death in human history, the solemnity of the exaltation, the triumph of the Holy Cross of Jesus Christ. Guys, most people throughout history, we don't really know off the top of our heads how they died, because frankly, it doesn't matter. You know, what George Washington did, it has a huge impact on my life. It's irrelevant even today. So I learned about his life. But the fact that he died of epiglottitis, you probably never even heard of that before. It's totally irrelevant. But everybody knows how Jesus died. In fact, the most popular symbol of death, and arguably one of the most recognized symbols in history, is the cross that Jesus died on. Because no other event in human history is more significant to your life than the one death that stands apart from all others and above all others. And not just because of how that one death frees you from sin, but because of how it radically reshapes how you face every single trial in your life. So today I want to share that reflection that I recorded earlier this week. Obviously from a different headspace where I'm smiling more in the reflection, but maybe that's a good thing. Because I want to talk about how the experience that Jesus had on his cross redeems your cross, every cross in your life, and gives you a whole new perspective to face every tragedy you have in your life. It gives us hope. Lord knows we need it right now. In the ancient world, the cross was the ultimate sign of humiliation and defeat. Romans had perfected that particular form of execution to turn enemies of the state into a literal signpost. You should not mess with Rome. Jesus, he's always depicted wearing a modest loincloth on the cross. In actuality, prisoners were hung naked, often for days, as crows came and plucked their eyes out. And they'd struggle for days naked with their bodies writhing up and down on the splintered wood of the cross to breathe until they surrendered to the weight of their bodies and suffocated. Romans mockingly called that writhing, quote, the dance of death. Guys, it would have been unthinkable for any faith or any group to adopt that as their sign. But we did. Why? Here's why. Because that horrific place of intense pain and humiliation is precisely the place where Jesus conquered. The cross is the field of battle that he won our victory on. It's the sword he plunged into the heart of mankind's mortal enemy, mortality itself. The cross is where he won our biggest battle, and we enjoy the spoils. To quote the contemporary Christian song, Defender, you go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. Boom. Drop the mic. Guys, it is far too easy for us to take all that for granted. The victory that he won for us and what he had to go through to get that victory. Though to be fair, we've always done that. Paul had to write to the Ephesians just a few decades after the first Good Friday to remind them, quote, remember that you were without hope and without God in the world. Remember that, guys. But look, the whole world enjoys the fruits of Jesus' victory on the cross today. I mean, Jesus won something for us. And even non-Christians, they go through life with this optimism that you have this idea that someone good is looking out for me. Where did that come from, that idea? Show me your receipt. No one thought that before the cross. We take this idea that something good happens after grandma dies, and we can gather around, remember her, and hope for her future. Guys, no one thought of death that way before Jesus died and rose. Even for people of faith, death was a scary, mostly unknown thing. That was especially true for the pagans, who would have seen death as their entry as shades of their former selves into an eternity spent wisping around the pantheon of angry, unpredictable gods. Jesus is the one that changed all that. And that does more than impact the last moments of our lives. Benedict XVI wrote in Spes Salvi about hope and the redeeming power of hope. Because if the end of the story is good, the whole story is redeemed by the ending, even if it's hard, or maybe especially if it's hard. Man, what a great story that was. Guys, Jesus makes the whole story of human existence good. That's what redemption is. Not just about the end, but the whole thing. And here's the amazing thing, guys. The way that he did that even redeems the experience of the cross itself. Your experience of trial, humiliation, pain. Because you see, his victory wasn't achieved despite his experience of trial, humiliation, and pain. No, no, no. He won precisely through and because he went through the cross for you. And you know what he showed us through that path to victory? That's how you and me are going to come to victory too. Follow me here, guys. Jesus could have just crushed the cross out of life. He could have crushed death entirely so we wouldn't have to be touched by it. He could have conquered our experience of defeat. He could have promised his followers, if you follow me, you will never suffer. Man, churches would be filled if that was the promise. You see, a really powerful king crushes his enemy. He conquers everything that might hurt his people. But Jesus is even more powerful than a really powerful king. He did better. He makes his enemies serve him and you. As we pray in the Eucharistic prayer, he fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself. Guys, because of what Jesus did, the cross, it's no longer a sign of humiliation. It's a new signpost. This is the road that leads to victory. Your victory. Guys, the cross and resurrection of Jesus sets a new pattern for the entirety of Christian life. This means that God's promised blessings, they're not coming your way despite the crosses in your life, but because of them. And if I could breathe some life into you right now, if you're feeling tired under the weight of your cross, whether it's a big one or you're just dealing with the grind of everyday life, that cross, it is not your cue to say, woe is me. It's time to look for your victory. It's time to pray, okay, God, this stinks. What do you have up your sleeve for me? That cross, it's not your time to recoil from pain. It's your cue to lean in because resurrection is right around the corner. And don't think, man, I thought if I followed God's plan, things would be smooth for me. I'm not sure which translation of the Bible you're reading. Guys, sometimes trial, it's a sure sign that you are on exactly the right road. Sometimes nothing being smooth is your sign that you're exactly where God wants you because that's how he's going to bless you. And even if your trial ends in your death, the biggest defeat of all, well then, you know what that means? It means your biggest victory is in your very next breath as you enter eternal life. That is the pattern of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. It's the new math of Christians. Defeat equals victory. We can see that pattern echoed in the life of every hero and every saint. If I could share a story to give you hope, 1600 years ago, there was a young boy raised by a loving, stable, wealthy family, but he was kidnapped when raiders came into his town, then into his home, and took him from his family, sold him into slavery. It's hard to imagine a worse tragedy. And there was no help for him in the ancient world to set things right. And he spent most of his formative years missing school. He actually struggled with feeling stupid his entire life because of that. He was raised in a different culture. He had to learn a new language. He had to build incredible courage to function with violent warlords as his bosses. He spent countless hours alone doing slave labor in a field as a shepherd, missing his family. Today, we call him St. Patrick, the man who brought the Christian faith into Ireland. Guys, I want you to think for just a minute of the qualities Patrick had that God used to raise him up and make him a world changer. Patrick lived in his public ministry with constant threats about martyrdom, but he was completely fearless. He was a bishop, but he was so down to earth and humble and accessible to his people, which made him convincing. He had an exhausting mission, but he was tireless. He had a life of deep prayer because he had found God in the solitude and learned to spend time with him. He loved the Irish people. He knew their language. He knew their customs. Guys, all those qualities that he had that turned him into a world changer, they were all his qualities because of the worst thing that ever happened to him, being kidnapped and sold into slavery. Guys, if that hadn't happened, Irish and world history would look totally different. God didn't turn Patrick into a blessing despite his greatest tragedy, but because of it. The cross was his highway to victory. I think of my own marriage. I've shared many times about the healing that me and my wife have gone through because of her past experiences of abuse. But I'll tell you what, guys, I think of the stellar qualities that she has as a human being, her compassion, her huge heart, her inner strength, her ability to draw boundaries healthily, her amazing wisdom and gifts of counsel. I can go on and on. Most of what I love about her, guys, she doesn't have, despite what she went through as a kid and the journey of healing that that led her to, but precisely because of it. When my daughter is crushed under the weight of struggling, going through high school with pretty intense ADHD, I have to remind her, sweetheart, this is exactly what God is going to use to make you a blessing. All that energy that you have in you right now that you want to direct like a laser beam, all the trials you're going through right now that are going to expand your heart and compassion, this is how God is raising you up right now. So can I breathe a little more life into you right now, whatever cross you find yourself carrying? If you find yourself under the weight of a cross and it's just pushing down on your chest, guys, that is not your time to feel defeated and get deflated. The cross is a sign of victory. That is your time to bench press, lean in. God is using that very thing to make you strong. Right now, he's preparing you for what he has prepared for you forever. We tend to look at our hard times as the source of our greatest weaknesses, the thing that breaks us. But great souls are only chiseled out from the rest of us by the suffering of the cross. Look, I want to be the patron saint of people who sit on a beach and sip a margarita. And there's nothing wrong with that part of life. I think God enjoys us enjoying life. But those aren't the moments that make me a saint. My trials are, and the way I deal with those. Look, Jesus didn't just conquer death and every pain and sadness by making it poof, all go away in this life, even though he could have. And he doesn't promise us a path that's easy. What he does promise is that if you follow him on the way of the cross, you know what true victory is. Guys, that cross that you bear, whatever it is, that is your highway to heaven. It is your path to glory. Your trials and tribulations, they're not happening to you, but for you and for the sake of others. That instrument that the devil is throwing at you and is trying to turn into your defeat to humiliate you, remember the cross and the power of that sign. Whatever that cross for you is, that's going to become your badge of honor forever. That's your sign of victory. When you remember that, when you keep that perspective of eternal victory, it doesn't make the cross go away. We all have to suffer. Bummer. But you, Christian, you do it differently. You do it with the hope that only his triumph from the cross can give you. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death singing, "The Lord is my shepherd. I am more than a conqueror." If you believe that, say amen. Amen. God bless you.